Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you so much that your life is in us. That in itself, Father, is the key to victory. Christ in us, the hope of absolute glory. We could just comprehend that in itself, Father. We would never, ever be the same. If we could ever comprehend what lives inside of us, Father, we'd never be rude again. We'd never commit adultery again or fornicate, Father. We'd never split families up, Father. We'd never steal. We'd never covet again, Father. We could ever understand the power of God that lives inside of us. There'd be no more inconsistencies, Father, in the kingdom of God. We could ever understand who Christ is inside of us. The world would want what we say we have, Father, and we could ever understand Christ in us. We could ever understand that the Word of God is written in our hearts and in our mind, Father. We would be walking revivalists, Lord. We could ever understand what lives inside of us. If I could ever understand, Father, what lives inside of me, the power of God, the absolute power of God, there'd be so much stability in our homes. There'd be so much love and mercy and compassion, Father, inside of us. We could ever understand who Christ is in us. We would treat our wives as queens, and our queens would treat their husbands as kings, and we would love our children like we would love the world. There'd be no drop-off in agape, Father, because we understood who you are inside of us, Lord. The world would absolutely envy us, Father. We could ever come to terms with who we are in you. Being made completely free from the bondage of this world, Father, according to your life in us. If we could ever understand this, Father, protecting the sanctity of the homes, Father. If we could love our wives as Christ loved the church. We could honor our wives or our prayers would be answered. The wives would be chaste and keepers at home, Father, in submission to their husbands, Father, in the fear of God. But I thank you, Father, that we attend a church and are under a pastor that teaches us these things, Father. And through the rebirth, Father, we are more than conquerors, Lord. We're able to walk holy. Our young men and our young women are empowered, Father, to walk chaste in this world. Virgins and holy, Father, waiting for that perfect man and for that perfect woman to come sweep them off their feet that love Jesus Christ, Father. If we could ever understand Christ in us, the hope of glory, Father. Oh, Holy Ghost, take us there. Take us to understand the power of God that lives inside of us. Take us, Lord, to understand the place where we never have to offend or take an offense, Father. Take us, Lord, to that place where mommies and daddies will reconcile, Father God, for the goodness and sanctity of the home, for the love and mercy and compassion, and for the growth of their children, Father God. Teach us, Father, through the rebirth, not to be a people only worried about themselves, Father, but to be a people that love you and hang on to your word like never before, Father, even if it hurts, Lord. Take us to that place, Holy Spirit, of understanding who Christ is inside of us, Lord. Take us to that place, Father, of reconciliation, Father, with that one child that we've ignored and we've been mad at. Father, take us to that place of forgiveness, Father God, to understand the power of love, Father. Take us to that place. Take us to that place, Father, through your word and through your spirit, to understand who Christ is inside of us, Lord. No partiality in the spirit, Father. No hatred towards any race, Father God. No hatred towards any race, but walking in the love of God, Father God. Take us to understand, Father God, what lives inside of us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, Father. That we would put on the new man, Father, and continually put off the old man, Father. Loving all people regardless of who they are, Father, or what their purposes are in life, Father. That we would allow our light to shine like a city that is set on an absolute hill, Father. That is what we're after, Father. A manifestation of the kingdom of God. But it first starts as we are revived within ourselves, Lord. Let us not fool ourselves, Father. Revival starts within our own being, Father. And as we keep your life inside of us, Father, then that light shines externally and the world can see that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. There are no shortcuts in your kingdom, Father. We hear your word, we read it, and we obey it. That is how we live. That is how we live. Thank you so much for everyone here today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Where that come from, I have no idea, but it felt powerful. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Let's not take each other for granted, man. I tell you, let's not take each other for granted. Even you, Renee. You know, Renee's the kind of person, he'll go to my house. When he says, What's up, partner? That means he's hungry. He's gone like 3 days in a row. Take my wife's computer, uses it for free anyway. He goes all the time and takes food home. And he'll stay just eating, he'll take food home. Where are you going, Renee? There ain't nothing changed. But, you know, but think about this. He's a pain. But I love him. And I love messing with him. And what would I do if ever I wouldn't hear him coming to my house again? I'd miss him, right? Let's not take each other for granted. I mean, seriously. I mean, I like getting on his nerves. And he don't get on my nerves. I just like messing with him. But, you know, we can't. You never know. We're here today and gone tomorrow, man. Let's not live our lives saying, oh, and, you know, and then go home tomorrow and say, oh, if I could have just loved more. We need to enjoy each other now. We all got strength. We all got weaknesses. But thank God through the Holy Ghost, we don't see each other's weakness. At least we're not supposed to. Amen. So let's not take each other for granted. That's you know, the Lord's been dealing with me on some issues lately. I've been going to sleep and the last few nights confessing something verbally, and then as I'm about to go to sleep in my spirit, I just let it roll over my spirit, and that is, Lord, I hear your word to obey it. I say it over and over and over again. Lord, I hear, because sometimes we forget that we want to read it to get revelation knowledge. Yes, we do. But we got to apply that revelation knowledge. Somebody says, I don't know that much about the Bible. You know what? You might not know a lot, but the little that you do know, incorporate it and do it. You're going to be okay. I just don't know a lot about the Bible. Somebody told me one time, I don't know as much as you do, homeboy. I don't know as much as Gary does, but if I incorporate what I do know, I'm going to be fine. Love, love, mercy, compassion. Love, love, love. You don't have to spend 4 or 5 hours a day in prayer to walk in love. What you do, just do it consistently. I don't work. I can pray all day long. I don't work. I am a girly man. Not really. But don't you call me a girly man after church, Miss Candy. I know you already. But let's not take each other for granted. Let's love each other. The time to love is while we're alive. Not to cry and mourn and weep when somebody's in the grave. Well, if I just could have loved them more. Me and my family do something. It's not spiritual, but every night, and I love it, we get together every night, probably about 10 o'clock, and about an hour, hour and a half, me and all my boys, we just stay there laughing. We played charades last night. We just stay there as a family. My daughter-in-law, my sons, and David, and Daniel, Elijah, we played charades. We just stay there for an hour, and we crack on each other. We have a good old time. Don't take your family for, don't take your kids for granted. Young men, young women, visit your parents. Love, because no one will love you like your parents. Visit them. Tell your mom and your dad that you love them. Sit down with them. Take them to eat a burger. Just spend time with your family. Now's the time, man, not tomorrow. Not where they're in the grave where you sit there and you cry like a little baby because you didn't. No, now's the time. Now's the time to appreciate each other. Now's the time to appreciate each other. Now's the time. I love being with my family. I love being with my wife. My wife is my best friend. Somebody said, cause I always grab my wife in the back when I walk because I need her for now. Somebody said, you're like your wife's tumor. I ain't going to tell you who said it, but she sits in the back and she's married to Ruben Alvear. And I'm not one to gossip. She said, you're a tumor. What do you mean, Delia? You're a tumor. You're always grabbing your wife. And then she got nice. I said, no, you're not a tumor no more. You're a big wart. But I love my family. My wife is my best friend. She is my best friend. If you're in a marriage and your wife's not your best friend, something's wrong. Or vice versa, women. Your husband should be your best friend. My kids are my best friends. I love my kids. I love my wife. And she loves me. She has to say that. She can't say nothing else. But tell your wife how pretty she is. Tell her how good she smells. Tell your wife these things. And tell your husband he's still fine after all these years. That'll do wonders for a marriage. I'm telling you, man, it'll do wonders. If your marriage failed, then you weren't doing some of these things. Amen? If your marriage failed, then you had best friends other than your wife. If your marriage failed, then you had best friends other than your husband. My God, man, we are the light of this world. We are the city that is set on a hill. We are. We are. We are to glorify our Father by our works. We do. The world should want what we say we have. That's biblical. Amen. Glory. Pastor Bronk is not here. He's on a mission this morning in northern Georgia. I guess a deer must have offended him somewhere, and he's out to get him. So he'll be back when, Miss Candy? He'll be back tonight. So I'm sure it's pretty cold up in northern Georgia. I guess that's where he's at. I have not talked to him, but he'll be back tonight and be back Wednesday, and things will be back to normal. You know, I had a prayer request today. Christina Harding called me, and I guess her aunt passed away last night. From what I gather, they did minister Jesus to her, and I do believe that she did go through the Lord's Prayer. So as she passed last night, she is with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prayers are with the Alvarado family. I don't know them, but Christina does, and she went to visit us last night, and we had a prayer cloth, and she talks like a young lady that's been under Pastor Bronk's ministry for 2 years because she was saying the right things. She didn't sound like I put myself in a corner now. She came to us attending a certain denomination. She's not talking like she's from that denomination anymore. She's talking like she goes to the family prayer center of Immokalee. So, amen. So saying all that, I said, let's not take each other for granted. I think I know what I'll be ministering on. Been going through it for a long time. I ministered to the young adults a while back. But I do believe I went through it a little fast, without patience. So I'm going to try to go through it again, maybe a little bit more in depth on the book of James, maybe 1 Peter. Just we'll see what happens. But stand with me, please. And as we said, loving each other now is the perfect time for us to love each other. So go to somebody that you hardly ever hug and tell them, now, if you come to me and you hug me, I'll say, well, great day. Why are you hugging me now until I ask for it? So go to somebody that you never hug. Tell them how beautiful and how much you love them. Hallelujah. I'm happy to be here. I have to say that, right? I can't say anything else. We're going to have a good time today. A little shout out to some friends of mine that will be coming here the 26th and 27th of this month. My Ramirez family out of Texas, Noelia and Julio and their family are going to come down. They're going to be with us on a Wednesday. They want to hear Pastor Dennis Bubba preach. And a shout out to a very fast young lady named Des Bryant, Carl's friend, all these people that watch us on live stream, just hello, on behalf of the Family Prayer Center. We love you and God bless you. Amen. You ever get to the point, you know, I've been for the last week, you know, I've gone through books. I probably can't tell you how many times there's books that I've gone through over and over again. And you figure that after 15 years of going through a book, that you would automatically walk in the book that's in you thousands of times. Wouldn't you think that? Well, guess what? My prayer's been, and I think of Miss Gay when I say this, because I know she likes to confess, and I've been just confessing over and over again, Father, you know, Paul, what's his name? Paul Yonggi Cho, is that? Did I say that right? The guy with the biggest church in Korea. They asked him what the secret to his success was, and he said, I pray and I obey. If we could just grasp that, man. So I've been saying verbally, I hear my Father and I obey my Father. I say it as much as I can, even when I'm about to go to sleep. Those words are rolling in my spirit over and over again. And certain things are getting real easy, because I could spend the next 15 years going through certain books hundreds of times and still not wear them. I could go through. I will not even attempt to tell you how many times I've gone through 1 John. I don't know. I know there's been at least 3 or 4 Bibles that I've had that the pages have fallen out of 1 John. And I still don't wear it completely. That's my fault. Because love is to be put on. See, love comes out of our spirit. But we got to obey that what comes out of our heart and our spirit. We got to obey it. We got to wear it. We got to put it on. And I've gone through certain books. I'm not going to lie. So I'm not going to even spout out a number. But I do know that I've been saying lately, I hear my Father and I obey my Father. I hear my Father and I obey my Father. And as I'm going to sleep, it just keeps rolling in me. Me articulating to you God's word is wonderful because I can give you some revelation knowledge, because you can't pray in the Holy Ghost and take a small book and assimilate it and not speak truth. It's impossible for the Holy Ghost not to relay truth to you. It's impossible. You can't fail praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, what if you don't pray in the Holy Spirit? You will fail as far as revelation knowledge. I don't care what you say. I don't care who's hearing this on live stream that disagrees with me. I don't care. I don't care. Baby bear. I don't care. Praying in the Holy Ghost is the only way that true revelation knowledge is revealed to me and you. I don't care who wants to argue with me. I don't argue with people no more. All I post on Facebook is about food and football and my wife. People say, why do you crack on your wife on Facebook? She's the one that puts it on there. I can't type. She cracks on herself and laughs about it. Think about it. You're so mean to your wife on Facebook. No, I'm not. She's the one that puts it on there. I can't see yet. Blame her for cracking on herself. That's funny, Vinny. That's a beautiful laugh, Vinny. But where was I at before I said that? Now I can't talk about football no more. Football season's over, so Corey won't be hanging around me no more until next year. Well, never mind. Corey will be hanging around me. But what I have rehearsed in my mind, or what I can spout out to you and preach to you, that don't mean nothing if I don't obey what I hear. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing if I can quote the book of James to you from front to back without missing a beat. It don't mean nothing if I can't keep it. It is absolute vanity. Vanity if I can articulate the book of James. I mean, just, and I probably can, several books, just boom, boom. And if I don't keep them, it's vanity. But if I can go from 1 to 5 and keep what I quoted, that's good. Real good. That was not so leaving it, by the way. You people are hard this morning, man. But that's applying what we know. Applying it. Do you know that to the modern day church, us that are born again, people say, if I could just see God, if I could just see Jesus, I would never be the same. Do you know what is equivalent to that? Obeying the inner witness is equivalent to me and you walking side by side with Jesus Christ. There is no separation. Me obeying God's word here on this earth in humanity as a human being is the same thing as the 11 walking with Jesus. That's spiritual equivalence, my friends. We have been equipped with the Spirit of God. When we obey that Spirit, it's just like we walked with Jesus. Just like it. So if you hate somebody now, being born again, if you walk with Jesus, you'd hate them too. If you hate a homosexual now that you're born again, you'd hate him if you walked with Jesus side by side. We have been equipped with the power of God to change this world. But if you can't keep, if I can't keep what I hear from my Father, I'm walking in vanity. And yes, I ate jalapenos this morning. I feel feisty. We've got to grasp this. Yes, brother, revival. Yes, brother, revival. No, brother, you can't hate. You only got one heart. You only got one spirit. Only one thing comes out of your spirit. You only got one well. Either it's fresh, brother, or it's bitter. James chapter 3. Yeah, I know it. I'm trying to remember the notes in my mind, so I'm pacing myself. I'm contending for revival. So are you. He's checking me. And I'm checking myself right now. Somebody got a hold of me. Have we gone this far as a body of Christ? Have we gone this far as a body of Christ? Are our conscience that seared where we're playing with filth and we think we're okay? Listen carefully now. Don't think I'm talking to the other person. Somebody got a hold of me and said, what do I start reading? Now, I answered the question a certain way, but if I could go back, I'd answer the question another way. I would be so bold with this person. Well, what book do I start reading? I should have said, and I would have said it, do not fornicate, chapter 1 through 5. In a relationship, wanting to know what they should read. Let me tell you something. What you should read is already written in your hearts. So do not commit adultery. That's what that person should be reading. You can't talk yourself out of it with scripture when you're living in it already. That is a seared conscience. Seared. You are in absolute trouble. Because what you want to read is already written in your heart and in your mind. And it's saying, separate. There is no chambering in the kingdom of God. That, my friends, if you're in a relationship like that, and you're asking what to read, you might have a reprobate heart already. Not even seeing your own darkness. Blind. Forgetting you were purged from your old sin. Why are you saying this? Because I care about that person. And we can't butter it up anymore. We can't butter it up. So you can fool me. You can fool pastor. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. Can't fool him. Be forewarned. Be forewarned. Second Peter chapter 1 is what the true gospel is. Second Peter chapter 2 is what the gospel is not. Go home and read it yourself. You'll know what I'm talking about. We add to our faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly love, and charity. He said, these things being in abound, he said, you shall never fall. Fall from what? Fall from what, Peter? Fall from your own steadfastness. You won't waver if you add these things to your faith. Temperance. Temperance. If you add temperance to your faith, he said, you'll never fall. Fall from what? Fall from your own steadfastness. You won't waver. Temperance. Temperance means self-control. Temperance. He said, add it to your faith. For if you do this, you shall never fall, but an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, having forgot that he was purged from his old sin. And I'm just using temperance right now as one that the Holy Ghost is ministering to me. Temperance, self-control, self-control. If adding virtue, knowledge, and temperance, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity to my faith keeps me from falling, if these things keep me from falling, what if I don't have temperance, which means self-control? What if I don't have it? If they keep me from falling, then if I don't add temperance to my faith, then what's that do? Then what will I do? I will fall from my own steadfastness. Now that's still a warning. That's still a warning. That's not what I'm going to preach. That's still a warning. You can be at the point in your faith where you're not adding temperance to your faith, which is self-control, where you might think you're still okay. No, the Bible says you're blind, having forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. If you've forgotten that you've been purged from your old sin, then you're still in it, because you haven't added temperance or self-control to your faith. Be forewarned. Be forewarned. If you're blind, having forgotten that you were purged from your old sin, it's because you didn't add temperance or virtue or knowledge or brotherly kindness or charity, and you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. If you've forgotten that you were purged from it, it's because you didn't add the things that you're supposed to add to your faith, and you're in trouble because you're blind, can't even see your own error. And if you can't see your own error and your own darkness, you are in jeopardy, and you will fall from your steadfastness and walk away from Jesus and be condemned forever. Wake up. Before Almighty God, I had no idea that this was going to come out of me at all. Be forewarned. You are in trouble because you're blind. You've forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. If you've forgotten you were purged from it, you're back in it again and don't even know it. You are in trouble. It's safe to say we are not a mainline denomination. We do not believe in once saved, always saved. That's evident. According to Jude, according to Galatians, according to the parable of the sower, according to 2 Peter, we do not believe in once saved, always saved, unless the guidelines of 1 Peter chapter 1 are followed. He said, you will never fall if you add this to your faith. You will never fall from your steadfastness. But if you don't do these things, you will fall, because you're blind, having forgot that you were purged from your old sin. That was strong, wasn't it? And I didn't go look for it. It came. I had no idea before Almighty God that that was going to come out. It was needed somewhere. It was needed. Where do I start reading? You've heard Pastor Bronk for years. Don't start reading. Start listening to the inward witness that says, do not fornicate. Amen. My heart is beating so fast right now. Turn to the book of James, please. James chapter 1. I pray to God that hit the spot. That was a strong warning. I pray to God that somebody wakes up. I pray to God that person or persons wake up. I did not solicit that. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. Glory. Are you still in shock over that a little bit? Right, Miss Candy? My God, man. I'm a little surprised that it came out. I, See, I can't even talk now. I'm stuttering. I had to stutter a little while ago, didn't I? My God. My God. Now I feel like weeping. Now I feel like weeping. That's why I know it was him. Because there's no rejoicing in my heart that I had to share that. Christ is long. I'm trying to get to James 1, but I can't. Christ is long suffering for you. Long suffering for you. You're like the sow. I return to the mire. You're not okay. You're not okay. But hopefully now your heart is pricked. We can go before your Father and do what you got to do. I'm trying to get away from it, but I can't. You're not okay. Amen. Let's try it again. James chapter 1. Let me just make sure I'm headed in the right direction. Those of you that are intercessors, please pray. Please pray. Please pray. Really, you're at the wrong place if you're under the wrong ministry under Pastor Bronk, if you think you can play with the world. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the clarity that you bring, Lord. Nothing in me is rejoicing now, Father. Such a hard message, Lord. May the peace of God consume my mind, Father. May the peace of mind consume it. And I develop so much patience within me, Father, to know that I'm ministering your mind. We all know that in life, don't stop praying, please. Do you know when Simon Peter gave this instruction? I'm trying to listen the best that I can. This isn't what I thought I was going to minister on. It just come upon me now. When Simon Peter said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Make sure I'm quoting it right, Kirsten and Terry. 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to not temperance, patience, to patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. Did I quote that right? He's saying, add these things to your faith. Remember I said a little while ago that I've gone through certain epistles a whole bunch of times? That you would think that after so many times of reading them that I would automatically walk in them. If that were the case, then why am I instructed by the Apostle Peter to add virtue, knowledge, patience, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity to my faith? If I didn't have to do something purposely? When he wrote this epistle, he was on the verge of martyrdom. He said, if these things be in you and abound, he said, you'll never be barren in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you do these things, there'll be an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, but if you lack these things, or if you don't do them, he said, you're blind. And you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sin. But adding these things that he did to his faith took him to the end. He said, the Lord Jesus showed me that I'm about to put off this, my tabernacle. I'm about, if you read 2 Peter, you don't get, I don't get the impression that he's writing this epistle in fear, knowing that he's going to be martyred. But he tells me and you what took him to the very end, into martyrdom. Can you imagine? Can I imagine if the Lord tells me, Homer, your days are approaching? Okay, Jesus, I can understand that. Yes, Jesus. Your chapter in life is about over, Homer. Okay, Jesus, I finally get to go home and see you. Listen carefully. You're about to put off your tabernacle, Homer. You're about to go home. Oh, gosh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, the Jews for years have been trying to kill me. I'm at rest. I'm at non-rest everywhere I go. There's pressure. There's this and that everywhere I go. I don't even sleep sometimes, Jesus, because I'm in fear of the Jews and the Judaizers and the Gentiles. They all want to kill me, Jesus. Yes, oh, finally. By the way, Jesus, am I going to die in my sleep? Am I going to die, Jesus, preaching the word? No, Simon Peter. Okay. Am I just going to walk a few more steps and just pass out with no pain in my body? No, Simon Peter. Okay, Jesus, just out of curiosity, how am I going to go? You're going to be martyred, Simon Peter. And by the way, at the time of your martyrdom, you're going to hang on a cross for 3 days, Simon Peter. Or and yet he still wrote an instruction to me and you on how we could make it even unto martyrdom. If you add these things to your faith, self-control. You don't think he was in agony? But he didn't sell his testimony. Because he added temperance to his faith. No one in here at the moment is in jeopardy of martyrdom. My heart is broken on what the modern day church is going through and what it does. I have 4 or 5 elders in my life that I respect so much. Men that I know pray, fast, and seek Jesus. And you know what? They never put nothing on Facebook. You think about that. And people in openly, in open sin, they blog. They write. And this is the thing, when they're in open sin and they're blogging about their faith, somebody has a reprobate mind. Somebody has a seared conscience. You can't wake up with somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband and think you're okay. You keep up, you're gonna go to hell. That's why Simon Peter said, add these things to your faith. Add self-control. Add virtue, add knowledge, add hufomene, add the force of consistency to your faith. If you add these things to your faith, he said, you will never fall from your steadfastness. If you add these things to your faith, you'll die a martyr, because they'll take you to the end. They will take you to, how do you know? Because it took Simon Peter to the end, where he wrote an epistle to me and you on how to stand strong unto the end. And he was talking about physical martyrdom. So surely me and you can overcome anything, any temptation that the body of sin tries to throw at me and you. It's only a matter of wanting to. The body of sin is to be mortified and crucified. You are not okay. I'll just ask God to forgive me. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. No, you're not forgiven because you know what you're going to do. You are not forgiven. It was premeditated. That's where the body of Christ is. And it's sad. It's much easier not to preach mortification than to preach it. Because people love the message when you don't talk about mortification. Because that way I can do what I want to do and I'll be okay. And that's not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is about godliness and holiness, separation from the world. And so he said, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, he said, you shall never fall. Fall from what? Well, chapter 3 of 2 Peter tells us you won't fall from your steadfastness. You won't waver. Listen to what he says. You won't waver in your faith if you add these things to your faith. Temperance, self-control. You mean an apostle is telling me that he had to walk in self-control at times? Yes. Yes, an apostle that raised the dead, that walked hand in hand with Jesus. He said, I have to add temperance to my faith. I have to add self-control to my faith. Don't do it. There are certain things that I have to add temperance to my faith, especially when it comes to my eating. Seriously. But let me tell you something. I'd rather die overeating on a Whopper than die with somebody else's wife in my hand that's not my wife. I'd rather die choking on that Whopper than to die with somebody else's wife in my hand. Or die a drunkard. Or die of drugs. Or die in a car accident or be shot. I'd rather die the other way. But I got to add timbers to my faith according to what I eat. I can fast and do good, and then one day I'll explode. I got to add temperance to my faith, or else I'll go home early. We haven't heard what Pastor, no, no, Pastor Bronk isn't saying what you think he said. You can't sit down with Pastor Bronk and you tell him you can eat whatever you want and you'll be okay. You're wrong. You misinterpreted what he said a couple of weeks ago. You misinterpreted it. There has to be temperance, self-control. Self-control. I'm just touching on temperance today. There's six or seven others we have there. I'm just touching on temperance. He said, add temperance to your faith. Self-control. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say it. Add temperance to your faith. You add these things to your faith. He said, you will never. Listen to me. You will never fall. Fall from what? Your own steadfastness. You won't waver in the faith. If you do these things. He said, add temperance to your faith. If you do these things, he said, you will never fall. You'll never waver in your faith if you add these things to your faith. If you do temperance, if you practice self-control, didn't have to say it, you darn sure didn't have to do it. Homer, I got things that I'm working on. Tell me what they are, Homer. No. Now, if you take me to Crispy Steakhouse, I'll tell you a few of them. Temperance, self-control. Patience, hufamine, the force of consistency, showing fortitude in that temptation, showing fortitude in that lust. I feel you lust, but I don't care nothing about you. I'm not going to do you because I have self-control and hufamine. There's a force of consistency inside of me. Why would I not bow to the body of sin? I won't bow to you. Do you hear me? Because I practice self-control. I won't say it. I want to say it because the body of sin wants me to say it, but no. I practice temperance because I love my Father. I want to say it. I want to relate to you sign language. But I'm not going to, because I practice temperance because I love my Father. I practice patience, hufamene, the force of consistency, because I have to add this to my faith. If I add it to my faith, I'll never fall from my steadfastness. Never. I will not waver in my faith if I add self-control to my faith. Amen. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. My God, what a promise that me and you, Kirsten, my wife, Marty, Gay, Miss Kennedy, that if we practice these things, he said, you'll never fall. You'll never waver from your faith. If you practice these things, if you do them, the fruits of the Spirit. Our time is now. Our time was at the rebirth to practice these things. They will take us to the end, even if we face the chopping block. How do you know? Because Simon Peter faced it and he overcame it, because he did what he taught. He did what he taught. He followed the example of perfection through Christ, and he followed that perfection. Now he's asking me to follow his example. We have to learn to add temperance to our faith, self-control. Don't do it. In the Greek, it means don't do it. In the Mexican, it means don't do it. In the Creole, it means don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Self-control, temperance, don't do it. Like Pastor Bronson, you might have to bite bullets. Don't do it. I'd rather bite a bullet, my friend, and stay in his good graces than to fall for my steadfastness. If you do something long enough, you'll think you can never get rid of it. It will consume you. You'll partake of it. And think that it's part of your Christian life, because your conscience is so, so seared. And if you die, you're going to wake up mighty, mighty. You're not going to know what you woke up to. Say, my God, if I would have just heard Pastor Bronk. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Mainline denominations say, once saved, all. I don't care who hears this. I don't care who gets mad at me. They say once saved, always saved. Well, isn't it amazing? Isn't it absolutely amazing? The first major teaching recorded by Christ in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. What did he say? If your eye causes you to sin, what? Gouge it out and cast it from you. That's the first major teaching recorded. He demolished that heresy right there and then at the Sermon on the Mount. He demolished it. You better not believe that junk, man. You might believe it even without knowing you believe it, if you continue in habitual sin. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Nowhere is that recorded in the scripture. I did it because I'm human. No, no, we don't live out of the part of us that's human. We live out of that eternal spirit that lives inside of us. That's what we live out of. That's what we live out of. I used to be to the point where I wouldn't say nothing to people that they were in a bit. I just wouldn't say nothing. I said, well, just go back. No, 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 no. 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 Powder puff football's over, man. Well, I know your heart. God knows your heart. And you just, you know. No. I love you too much to play patty cake with you. Add temperance, self-control to your faith. Sorry, James. Sorry, Rex. Add adding these things will take you to the end. I can't picture myself now being martyred. That would hurt. Simon Peter said, if you do these things, they'll take you to the end. To what end, Simon Peter? Oh, just 3 days of hanging upside down for your faith in Christ. Temperance took him there. Self-control allowed him to endure the punishment of the cross. Hufamune, the force of consistency. Father, this hurts. I'm in pain, Lord, but the force of consistency is this. Even on this cross, upside down, I still hear you. And what I hear, I will keep until I utter my last breath. That, my friends, is temperance. I hear you even hanging upside down. I hear you. There's a crowd around me, Jesus. There's a crowd around me, but I hear you even through all this physical pain. I hear you. And I practice temperance, and I'll keep what I hear because I love you, Lord. I'll practice hufamune, Lord. I'm hanging upside down. They're mocking me. They're laughing at me, but somebody in this crowd needs Jesus. I'll endure the pain of the cross, Lord, through temperance and through patience because I love you. And without practicing the 7 or 8 things that he listed, In chapter 1 of 2 Peter, we'll quit. We'll stop. I had no idea I was going to go this way. I had no idea. He's coming to get a couple of you. Maybe more. What's he asking right now? And I feel him winding down already. He's asking you to add temperance, self-control to your faith. He loves you so much. They would have me share this with you. James says this in chapter 1. We're still talking about temperance, patience, virtue, knowledge, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Do you know who it is that endures temptation, any kind of temptation? Would it be persecution or your own flesh is tempting you? Do it, do it, do it. The spirit man says no, no, no. Flesh says yes, yes, yes. Spirit man says no, no, no. You know who is the man or woman that endures temptation? He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he or she is tried, they shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord will give unto them that love him. So when one endures temptation, why does he or she endure temptation? What is the reason that they endure it? What's that? Love for him. Blessed is the man or woman that endureth temptation. That word endureth can be also known as that has fortitude. That has fortitude in temptation. That could be the body of sin working against you, causing you, wanting to cause you to do this. He said, blessed is the man that has fortitude when he is tried. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, listen to this. When he is tried or when he's tempted and overcomes that temptation, he shall receive the crown of life that the Lord shall give unto them that love him. So who endures temptation? People that what? Who endures temptation? People that what? Love him. Who endures temptation? People that love him. Say it with me. Say, who endures temptation? But he or she that loves him. Cut. If I don't endure temptation, then I don't what? I love you, Father. I worship you. I thank you. You're so holy. I want you. But you hang on to the temptation. I'm contending for revival. No. He or she that endures temptation is one that loves him. Father, I feel it. It might feel like it's overwhelming me. Oh, Father. But I'll look into that law of liberty and I'll keep your word because I love you. That's why he says in James chapter 1, winding it down, regarding temptation, anything that challenges, it comes to take the word of God out of you. The book of James is the parable of the sower. It's just a parable of the sower. Let every man be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. He said, for the wrath of man, it does not work the righteousness of God. He said, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. I'm in a temptation. You're in a temptation. We know we have to add certain things to our faith to mean you won't fall. We know that, right? But here, James says, you're in a temptation for your faith. Chapter 1, first couple of verses. Then he says, chapter 1, verse 12, he said, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord shall give unto them that love him. He said, those that face temptation because of their faith, those that endure temptation of their faith, they endure it because they love him. Well, then how do I endure the temptation for my faith? How do I endure it? I do it by loving him, but how do I love him when I'm tempted for my faith? How do I love him? How do I love him? Listen again. We're going to wind it down. I'm giving you help on how to overcome your worst nightmare. Who's your worst nightmare? Your flesh. That's your worst nightmare. It's not a matter of not being able to overcome it. It's just don't want to overcome it. Listen to what he said. You're in a temptation for your faith. James chapter 1, first couple of verses. And in 12 he says, blessed is the man that endured the temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord promised to them that love him. Then he says, I think it's verse 20 to 23 maybe. Listen, it's still same subject. I'm here to help you, man. I'm here to help you. Listen to me. I'm here to help you overcome the thing that has you in bondage. I'm here to give you the answer on how to overcome that thing that's held you in bondage. I'm here to give you an answer. I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm here to help you. I want to see you on the other side of glory. I want to see you do something here in this earth for the kingdom. From James 1 to 12 to 20 and 23, I believe. Let every man be quick to listen. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. And receive with meekness the engrafted word. So what am I supposed to be quick to listen to? The engrafted word. I'm quick to listen to the engrafted word. I'm quick to listen to the engrafted word that was given to me at the rebirth. God's word was written in my heart and in my mind. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Most people are not quick to listen. They're quick to talk. And if you're quick to talk, you're going to override the nature of God inside of you because you're not hearing. Did you get that? Quick to listen, slow to speak. No, we're not quick to listen. We're quick to talk. And if you're quick to talk and you're not listening, you're going to do what's wrong. Listen to this. We're winding it down. How can I overcome this damnable thing that's held me for a long time? Hopefully today, by the power of the Holy Ghost, your eyes and your heart and your ears have been opened and your heart softened. He's coming to get you in a good sense. He's not coming to get you in a bad sense. He's long-suffering. He wants your repentance. Temptation for your faith? Let me just read it to you real quick. James, the servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing the trying of your faith. So what is tried during this temptation? Your what? Your faith is tried. He's writing to believers. Your faith is being tried. The writer says, count it all joy. Your faith, how can I count it all joy when my faith is tried? I tell you why, because there's something in you. There's something in you, the engrafted word, that can see you right out of that temptation, my friend. If you want out. James gives us the absolute positive answer. So we're being tried for our faith. I think it's 12 of 1. Forgive me if I'm off a little bit. He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. James chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord shall give unto them that love him. So one that makes it through a temptation is one that loves him, right? So if I don't endure the temptation, then I'm not showing much what?
Love.
Walking in darkness. But he says, I think it's James 1, 20 to 23. What is it, Kirsten? When it says, quick to listen, slow to speak. What verse is that? Okay, 20 to, okay. And he's still on the same subject. He said, be quick to listen. I think Marsha answered the quick to listen was quick to listen to the engrafted word. The word that's written in your heart. They didn't have this back then. But they had the word written in their hearts and in their mind. They had a new nature. Let every man be quick to listen. Quick to listen. Quick to listen to what? The inward witness. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, it does not work the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God that's supposed to be worked? The what? The word. You can't work out that word in wrath. When you're quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, you're going to listen, you're going to apply, and you're going to work it out. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man, it does not work the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness. In other words, that leftover residue in your soul, kick it to the curb, man. Kick it to the curb. That's it. Well, I can't. It's not that you can't, it's you don't want to. So wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Listen, in a temptation for my faith, and receive with meekness. Or humility, receive with meekness or the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Save your soul when? During the diverse temptation. He's saying, receive with meekness the engrafted word that's inside of you, which is able to save your soul. He's giving you the answer on how to overcome. He's giving me the answer on how to overcome the very thing that I want to do that contradicts God's word. He's giving me the answer. Only one qualification, only one thing that I have to do to walk out of that temptation for my faith. What is it? Receive with humility. Either it's his ways or it's my way. When I receive it with meekness, I did what he wanted me to do. I received it with meekness. I received with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save my soul. Well, how do you know when you receive it in meekness? It tells you right underneath the verse. What's it say? The next verse. But be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only. So I know when I receive with meekness the engrafted word, when I hear it, and when I do it. Lord, I love you. I endured
this temptation because I heard what to do and I did what I knew to do and I received it with meekness, Father, because I love you. My soul, my flesh barked like a dog. It wanted to do it, but I had a revelation of what love was, Lord. I wanted to do it. It hurt me. But Father, I grit my teeth. And I received with meekness the word that lived inside of me. And I didn't do it, Father, because I loved you. Now, if you heard and didn't do, you weren't meek. But you were proud in darkness. You weren't quick to listen. You were quick to defend. Quick to justify. You with me? Good thing I'm not looking at any of you, judging you. He's called me and you to be poor in spirit. Isn't that the first thing that the Beatitudes say? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, in James, it tells me exactly what that verse means, word for word. I didn't know it until about 2 months ago. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Thank you, James. And I'm done in about 5 minutes for real. Trust me. James says in chapter 2 of James, still same subject. Same subject. How to overcome temptation. First he said, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Save your souls when? During a diverse temptation. How do I know when I receive it with meekness? When I do what I heard. Does that help you any? Is that making sense to you? It says in chapter 1 of James that it's the poor that are exalted in diverse temptation. What does it mean to be poor? I know what it means broadly, but I can give you word for word what it means. James chapter 2. Maybe verse 5 to 10, somewhere in there. He said, hearken, my beloved brethren. Listen to this. James is writing to born-again believers. We're going out and we're establishing what that word poor means, word for word, that our Lord and Savior used on the Sermon on the Mount. Hearken, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world, what? Rich in faith. Has God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? He said, but you have despised the poor. What poor? The poor that were in the church that you cared nothing about. We're called to be rich in faith. In other words, we hear the inward witness and we do it. That, my friends, is what it means to be poor in spirit. If you're poor in spirit, then you are rich in faith. Nothing else in the world means anything to you but loving your Father. That is rich in faith. Not what you quote. That don't mean nothing to Jesus. Sometimes it's what you don't say that's commendable to him. Sometimes it's what you don't do that's commendable to him. Hearken, my beloved brother, has God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which promises to them that love him. But you have despised the poor. You've despised the poor. So a person that's poor in spirit doesn't despise the poor. He walks in royal law. He walks in love. That is rich in faith. That is what a person that's poor in spirit, that's what he or she walks in. We walk in continual love. We're rich in faith. We know what's right. We hear the engrafted word and we keep it. And every single time we face a diverse temptation for our faith, we are exalted out of it. Every time we are exalted out of it. Because we made the right choice. We heard the engrafted word. We hung on to it. The cross meant more to us than any damnable situation. We are called to be poor in spirit. A person that's poor in spirit is rich in faith. And one that's rich in faith, he hears what's right. And he or she does it no matter if it hurts, man. No matter if it hurts, they do it. Oh, we can learn from the Word of God. I pray to God that you repent. I pray to God that you repent. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. 1 Peter chapter 5 says to resist Satan in the faith. You can't resist him in the flesh. You got to resist him in the faith. Holding on to the gospel of the kingdom and walking in it. That's resisting Satan in the faith. When you hear the inner man and you do what he says. Has God called me and you to be poor in spirit? And if we're poor in spirit, we're what? We're rich in faith. We hear what's right, Terry, and we keep it. No matter what is at hand. No matter what's at hand. No matter if I face death, persecution, you have to mean more to me than the moment. When I look into the law of liberty, the law that brings freedom is what the Greek says. When I look into what's right and overcome what I feel is wrong. Oh Lord, I really want to say it. Oh, look into that law of liberty. Look into your heart. Hear God's word and apply it. That's what he's not looking for, Greek scholars. He's not looking for men and women that got the whole Bible memorized. He wants those men and women that hear the Father and obey the Father. That is my confession. That is my confession. Father, that I would hear you in the midst of a storm. That I would hear you laying upside down on the cross and not let go of your word, because I have one purpose in life, and that is to absolutely, positively glorify you, Father. For no one lights a candle, puts it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see, that they may see, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. No. We're content with people hearing us. If we could just be heard. No. Our works should be seen. They should be seen. When we keep that which is internal, there will be an external manifestation of the kingdom of God. It starts with me and you. It starts with enduring every single temptation for our faith. Things come to contradict our faith. We put them where they belong, on the cross. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord shall give unto them that love him. Amen. We're going to take up an offering, but before that, we need to really pray. I'm going to pray for those one or two or three or four or five who the Lord went after. We're going to pray, okay? So, Father, I thank you so much for your glory. I thank you for your conviction. I thank you for your word, Father. I pray that those that heard this message, Father, oh, Lord, that they would just fall contrite before you, Lord, fall to their knees of their double-mindedness. Their blindness, Lord, they would come to you, Father, and just ask that you cleanse them with the blood of Jesus, my Lord. That they would draw nigh to you, Father, draw nigh to the inward witness, Father, draw nigh to the engrafted word, Father, and you said you would draw nigh unto us. Oh, that their hearts would be so pricked, Father, by the power of the Holy Ghost, Father, that the hearts would be pricked even now as we speak that conviction now, Father, in Jesus' name. Be broken. Separate yourself. Separate yourself. Even if it hurts, separate yourself. In Jesus' name. By the way, your soul is at stake. He's calling on you because he loves you. No other reason. He's calling on you because he loves you. He completely redirected this service just for you. Just for you. He redirected the service just for you. Hear the words of the Lord and feel the pricking of your heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. It is of the utmost importance that you heed this warning. That you heed this warning. Heed it. I worship you, Daddy. Praise you for it. Praise you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Was that powerful? Amen. Before we go, thank you, Lord. Yolanda had a prayer request. I'm exhausted. Her sister lives in California where all the fires are at. I think she lives in a town close to Santa Ana. Her name is Lisa. Santa Barbara, same thing. They Santa Ana winds. And we know, I've been following it on Fox News, and I prayed. As soon as I heard, I prayed, rebuking them winds and just praying clouds in the sky. There's just some terrible things happening in this world. I believe the book of Matthew, I think it's chapter 18 or 20. Which one is it? 24? 24, it's coming to pass. So, Father, we come against that right now, that attack, that was fires, Father, threatening to kill lives. We come against it in Jesus' name, Father. But more than anything in the world, we pray that this country would just bow its heart to you, Lord. And you would come and heal our land, Father. We pray for comfort in Lisa's life, Father, that angels will be dispatched round about her property, Father God. We command those winds to die down, Father, and those fires to cease in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for it, Father. Amen. Somebody pass the buckets out, please. Pretty please. What time is it, Miss Candy? How long did I go? What is it? 12 o'clock? Hallelujah. Come, but son Nathaniel said, Dad, I'm not going to church because you haven't preached in a while. And when you don't preach in a while, you take it to the extreme. I said, I'll be out by 12, son. Did I do it? Ha! Ha! God loves you, right? Hallelujah. I love you too with all my heart. And so does God, man. Oh, he loves you so much. If you're out there hearing this and this message was for you, he loves you so much that he would take a service just to come get you. Heed the words. I believe there's a lot more than one. How about you? Hopefully there wasn't. Maybe 2, maybe 10, maybe 12, maybe 100. I don't know. But they went out. Father, we thank you so much for this offering we're about to receive. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your love, for your spirit, Father. We thank you for our pastor that's, yes, Lord, he's out there. He'll be back Wednesday bringing the word to us. Father, we love him. We appreciate the ministry of Pastor Bronk and Mrs. Candy, Father. True lit candles in this world, Father, we just pray that what we're contending for, Father, through love and through mercy and through revelation, knowledge, and through doctrine, Father God, we know it's your will. People are dying left and right, Father. Dying left and right. Surely we are to make a difference in this world, Father. Surely we must live self-denial lives, Father. Loving you no matter what's at hand. We thank you for this offering, Father. We pray for the saints, for the brothers and the sisters. We would call each other during the week and tell each other how much we love each other, Father. We thank you so much for your mercy. We thank you so much for your grace. And thank you so much for this offering we're about to receive, Father. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, Wednesday, 7 o'clock. God bless you.